Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update.
Welcome to Money in the Market. The U.S. dollar has surged once again in recent days after Fed Chair Jerome Powell warned that rate hikes will be here to stay for longer. So is the period of volatility in currency markets set to last for the rest of the year? And will there be any regional currencies that will be able to withstand the strong greenback? Well, joining us on the phone today to tell us more is Simon Harvey, who's the head of FX analysis at MonFX. Simon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. So, you know, with the U.S. dollar rebounding once again, especially after the return of Fed Chair Jerome Powell's hawkish rhetoric, is the period of Forex volatility far from over? How long is this volatility going to last?
It's quite difficult to say how long it's going to last. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a case of if we're looking at the next kind of month and beyond that, I think we can be quite confident in saying, look, investors at the moment are battling very kind of an array of cross current in kind of the global macro landscape. And that's inducing a lot of volatility, whether it's in terms of, you know, digesting higher U.S. rates, whether that's digesting signs of resilience in inflation or the impact it's having on growth. Mm-hmm. I think that's causing a very interesting investment landscape. And now all of a sudden we're starting to see signs that monetary policy is entering into a region where it could have financial stability impacts as well in terms of, you know, U.S. capital markets, but also in kind of European housing markets and private credit space. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of questions still out there that need answering. I think the data hasn't necessarily put to bed the discussions over hard landings, soft landings, no landings, crash landings, whatever kind of landing that you want to kind of think about. I think all scenarios are still on the table. And that means that volatility is still going to remain very high. I think what we've seen over the last week in terms of U.S. markets and SVB, I think we're not just going to be dependent on data anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that's now brought an extra element in for markets to consider in the form of, you know, financial stability risks in U.S. lending markets. And all of a sudden, I think the overall risk environment is going to be very dependent on how U.S. cash equities trade over the next few weeks and how private investors deem the risks in kind of U.S. lending markets. So I think, yeah, there's plenty of cross currents to still play. I don't really expect volatility to die down anytime soon. I think we're still looking for it to creep into Q2 before all of a sudden I think the macro landscape becomes a bit clearer for investors to navigate.
Okay. So how will, let's say, a further strengthening of the dollar impact regional currencies?
Yeah, I think we're not necessarily at the points where we were in Q3 of last year, where it really kind of had major implications for economies in the APAC region, and that induced kind of FX intervention measures, whether it be in Korea or in Japan. I don't think we're not there. I think it's quite difficult at the moment unless there's some serious kind of exogenous shocks, which could be on the horizon in terms of overall kind of financial market stability. I think without that, it'll be quite difficult to see the dollar get back to those levels, just purely on the basis of we don't really know what the path is like for U.S. rates or where it's going to, but the distribution of outcomes is much narrower than it was in Q3 of last year. And I think we'll get to that point now where, you know, the volatility in kind of the Fed projected path does start to come down. I mean, we started to see it at the beginning of the year. It kind of picked back up again on a few pieces of data. It's going for a bit of a torrid time at the moment, and that's causing a lot of volatility and, you know, another kind of leg higher in the dollar. But I think over the next few months, we are going to see that kind of volatility in the Fed's path come back down again, the distribution of outcomes, and then all of a sudden it gets to that point where you don't have the kind of the confluence of factors that led to, you know, the really strong dollar last year. So I don't think we're necessarily getting into the region of FX intervention by central banks because of the implications it has in terms of growth and inflation.
But I mean, there will be some impact though. So, you know, will there be any regional currencies that will remain resilient this year against the strong US dollar?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for the currencies where, you know, they're a bit more insulated in terms of, you know, energy exposure still. I think that's a story that although it's kind of died down, it hasn't necessarily disappeared. We're also looking at the Japanese yen. If we're talking, you know, on a structural basis over the course of the whole year, there's still a pretty solid backdrop there in terms of, you know, the Bank of Japan at some point looks like it's going to start easing policy. Japanese real money investors may start to reallocate portfolios and onshore it. And then all of a sudden, you have this big kind of influx of capital back into Japan. And if you then overlay that with potential recession fears, although, again, they have abated somewhat in the past few months, I don't think we're necessarily at the point that we can completely, write that off, especially if we are talking in terms of financial stability risks or something breaking because of the hiking cycle. I think, the Japanese yen could come back and have its haven property again if you are looking for areas to park money outside of the US. So we really like the yen still. I mean, it's gone for a bit of a difficult time. It's back up to 136. Kuroda last week didn't necessarily adjust policy. We expected that.
Right.
But we do expect, at least in Q2 at some point, for UEDA to come in and say, look, we need to start adjusting. The question is, how much do they adjust? And that really depends on how the spring wage negotiations play out.
Okay. Going back to the US dollar, though, is a structural decline in the USD likely this year or no?
We think so. Again, our base case is that obviously something doesn't blow up in a different corner of kind of global markets. So, we're monitoring that risk, but generally we don't see it. We think everything's going to be somewhat contained. But once the kind of the rate cycle calms down in terms of, front-end rates moving around a lot because of central bank policy, we think all of a sudden investors are going to be going back to looking at growth opportunities, looking for, pockets of resilience and areas to invest outside of the US and that kind of growth rotation. And we really expect that to start weighing on the US dollar. Additionally, if there are kind of financial stresses, that could play out in terms of, expectations of Fed easing or increasing liquidity in markets. Again, that should weigh on the dollar at the margin too. The question is, I don't necessarily think, is the dollar going to structurally decline this year? I think the big question for markets right now is, okay, we know given the current valuation levels that it is going to come down at some point. And that's the big question. When are we getting into these kind of dollar short positions? They started to buy into it at the beginning of the year. It's hit a roadblock. When do they rebuild these positions? And I don't really see, a clear case for it until we get towards kind of the middle months of this year.
And, last week, Jerome Powell, he signaled that more rate hikes are to come and they're here to stay for longer. While the U.S. Fed is signaling more rate hikes, how are G10 central banks entering a new phase this year?
Yeah, I think they are still following the Fed, even if they don't like to admit it. I think they are getting into a new stage in the cycle where, outside of Japan and to a lesser extent the Eurozone, they are slowing. They are slowing the pace of the hikes. They are coming towards terminal rates. And all of a sudden, they are looking at inflation coming down and potentially monitoring, the growth implications and the implications on other markets because they want to, assess the transmission of their previous actions. So if we look at the UK, for example, it looks like the Bank of England's getting close to its terminal rate. The Bank of Canada has already come out and said, we're pretty much there. We're monitoring how the data comes out. We're also keeping a close eye on what the Fed does and, the impact that has on things like the currency markets and how that plays out. But generally speaking, I think if the Fed reaccelerates, I don't necessarily see it playing into this idea that other central banks are also going to reaccelerate. I think, if anything, it might drag their hiking cycles an extra kind of meeting or two from what we expected at the beginning of the year. But I don't necessarily see it, we're going back to last year where everyone's kind of chasing the pace higher.
You've talked about the Japanese yen earlier, but what's the outlook on the Japanese yen against the US dollar as, many are expecting a shift in monetary policy once a new leadership takes place?
Yeah, I think it's again quite a difficult question. It's one we're facing quite regularly from our client base, and it's really difficult to quantify without the data on what the wages are going to come in like because, everything is predicated on that. The degree of monetary tightening is founded on, how much structural inflation comes back into Japan. And without any guidance on that, we then don't know, you know, how monetary policy is going, or even kind of make a reasonable forecast on that, and then look at how kind of the global investment climate is going to shift in response to it. So at the moment, we're taking a bit more of a conservative stance. We see dollar JPY going towards 120 at the end of the year. We think it definitely has room to run. And if anything, the risks are towards a lower dollar JPY rate.
Staying in the region as well, would you say that reopening of China is going to be smooth, or will it have a negative economic impact on APAC or NG10 currencies?
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, we wrote a macro outlook, and kind of one of the key points to it was not only kind of short-term volatility, but also a bit of a bumpy reopening to China. I think we've seen that over the past 2 months' worth of data. You know, January's was quite underwhelming for markets that are really kind of moved into assets that had a high exposure to Chinese growth. And then all of a sudden, February's data came in really strong with regards to, you know, the manufacturing PMI specifically. I think we're still going to see that play out. I think we don't necessarily know how China's economy is going to evolve. There were some signs from the MPC over, I think, two weekends ago now that China's targeting a 5% growth rate. Now, we don't necessarily know if that's the accurate growth rate or if they're just setting a very low bar to, you know, exceed it, given the fact that they missed that bar last year. So there's still some questions over, you know, how are the regulatory changes going to play out, and whether they are actually looking to get the economy on a slower trajectory, but a bit more of a stable basis, or whether they are making it just a bit more politically palatable by giving themselves a bit more leeway to exceed the growth target by. So we're still kind of looking at the Chinese economy. I think they're, given the recent readjustment by markets, there's still some areas to kind of for that to play out in a positive way, especially since markets reset to the higher US rates and, you know, kind of entry points for kind of FX that are highly exposed to Chinese growth are currently trading at. But yeah, I mean, at the moment, we've only got 2 months worth of data points to play with. I think, as I said, it's going to be a few more bumps down the road. And we're really not looking for the Chinese economy to kickstart and on a stable footing until maybe the back end of Q2.
Right. And before I let you go, though, what are some other global and Asian geopolitical risks that will remain prominent and move Forex markets?
Yeah, I mean, we're still keeping a very close eye on what China's stance is in terms of in terms of Taiwan. And I think that's the big kind of regional geopolitical risk here. Any kind of polarization in kind of global political structures is something that markets need to pay kind of acute attention to. And the problem that we have right now is because so much is going on, you know, the limelight shifts so constantly, people take their eye off of slower moving developments, which tend to be more geopolitical. And that is in terms of, you know, rumors that China are kind of aligning themselves a bit more with Russia, or the fact that military exercises are quietening down in the Taiwan Strait. Everyone kind of then forgets about that. So I think it's definitely still on the table. It's one of the big risks for the year. And it's something that, especially in the APAC region, if we do start to see, you know, signs of more aggression from China in terms of Taiwan, and then, you know, retaliatory measures taken by Western nations, then all of a sudden there's going to be quite a difficult climate to trade in that region. And again, that filters into just another case for, you know, exposure to the Japanese yen in terms of, you know, if we are still considering that as a big risk for the year. You know, the Japanese yen, it's got a lot of positive factors, and that's just one of them.
Well, thank you so much, Simon, for breaking all those down for me today.
No worries. Happy to help.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Simon Harvey, who's the head of FX analysis at MonFX. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.